Grab your Bibles, remain standing, Psalm 24, and we'll get started. I know that's a lot of singing tonight, but amen, some of y'all start to perk up and smile, amen, a little bit. Amen. I didn't want to have to preach you up, sing you up, hopefully, amen, hopefully preaching to send us out tonight and having grown in the things of God this evening. Brother Mark, if you can back me off just a little bit. Man, it's a little hot up here. Psalm 24, ain't you glad you saved tonight?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like being saved. I've been wrestling with, I had several folk last Wednesday. Of course, we've been in Psalm 23 for several weeks now. Been enjoying studying that, preaching that, and gleaning some truth out of there. I'm glad I'm going to make it through. Amen. We are going to make it through. And though you're down in the deepest, darkest valley of your life tonight, David said, I walk through. And several asked us and made comment, preacher, don't hasten up out of there. Take your time. And if I take much more time, we'll never get out of it. Amen. And I mean, I'm that close to backing up and preaching it again. And trying to glean through it. And yet I feel impressed tonight. Move on to Psalm 24 and try to share some thoughts with you. The Lord's give us out of this psalm. And as we come to the end of the trio of psalms, Psalm 22, 23, and 24, I believe the Lord's got something for us tonight. Bible said in verse number 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing. Notice this, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And notice this statement, and the King of glory shall come in. This will be one of our thought verses tonight. Verse 8, the question is posed, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the question again is, who is this King of glory? And the Bible said, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. Let's pray together. And I want to preach tonight using that question, who is this King of glory? That's a good question tonight to ask about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us now this evening. Lord, as we come in tonight, we know there's some that are weary and tired and troubled and Lord, are just burdened down with the events of the day. I pray for the next few moments as we gather around the Word of God in these 10 verses of Psalm 24. May, Lord, you encourage them and help them and strengthen them. And may our eyes and our minds and our hearts be fixed tonight upon this King of glory. And Lord, we'll bless you, Lord, for what you do. Lord, probably somebody here tonight, and Lord, has never been saved by the grace of God. I pray tonight, and the Holy Spirit of God would let them see who this King of glory is. And may, Lord, as they leave tonight, he be their Lord of salvation. And save them, Lord, we pray, and show them their need, and draw them to yourself. And Lord, everything you do for them, everything you do for the church, everything you do for the saints of God, will return glory back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As we come to Psalm 24, we understand again, according to the heading of Psalm 24, this is a psalm that is written from the pen of David. That's all we know from the heading of this psalm. When you begin to study its background and its history of when that it was wrote, and when that it was shut. We believe that it's written from the pen of David when he and Israel returned the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. You understand, when you begin to understand Israel's history and David's life and his reign and all that took place early in the reign of King David, the ark of God had been stolen away under Saul's ministry, and really even before Saul became king, it was stolen away, and the Philistines took it, kept it up for 7 months, and after a while of curses falling on them and God judging them, they brought it back and said, Israel, you can have it. Well, in Saul and in Samuel's day, they left the ark down in Kirjath-Jearim, and there it lay there in Saul's day and in Saul's time. When David became king, he gathered some elders together and said, it's time we bring the ark of God back to where that it needs to be. And they set off down there. Bible said they set it on a new cart, and they began to pull that with oxen that ain't out. God said to move it, and so they got it on a new cart, and the oxen hit a rut in the road, and it began to move, and Uzzah put his hand on the ark to stay it, and God dropped him graveyard dead right there on the side of the road, and it messed with David's mind, and David got upset with God that day, and he said, we're not going any further, and he shoved the ark off down there in the house of Obed-Edom. And for 3 months, amen, for 90 days, the Bible said everything Obed-Edom did, and God blessed him, and God began to move in his house, and everything he endeavored to do had the great blessing, said, of the grace of God upon his life. When word reached back to David, and David said, we're going to go get that ark, and we're going to bring it back, because we want the blessings of God upon the holy city. And so he went down, and this time he doesn't bring a new cart. He brings him Levites and the staves, and they begin to move, and the Bible said they'd walk a little while, and then they'd stop and offer up sacrifice, and my friend expressed worship and praise and excitement as, my friend, they was bringing the ark of God, that which represented the presence of the Lord, back into that holy city, Jerusalem. We understand, according to 2 Samuel chapter 6, on that day there was much excitement in the heart of David and in the nation of Israel, that which had been gone for a long time, that which had not been able to enjoy by the presence of God was now coming back. And Psalm 24 is written with that background in mind as they come, my friend, dancing into Jerusalem and skipping, and even so much that David got so carried away. And his wife Michal said, you've done well today, amen, dancing naked. And she didn't like how excited and how foolish that David had acted. And we believe tonight, amen, you ought not be dancing around naked. Somebody say amen. Amen. That wasn't her problem. Her problem was that she's been a wet blanket on the fact that there was a crowd that was excited, the Lord in his presence, and that which represented God was coming back into town that day. And so David was excited, and Israel was excited, but I believe the excitement of David in this time is to be understood by this Psalm 24, that it went beyond David being excited about a box coming back into town. My friend, beyond that, he was anticipating that day when the Lord God of glory would enter into heaven, and there enter the everlasting doors, and the gates would be raised up, heads would be lifted, and that the King of glory would come in out of his rightful place. Now this evening, we understand Psalm 22, 23, and 24, that they go together, and we understand, as we've already preached, at Psalm 22, it deals with the Messianic Psalm. These are all psalms from the pen of David. They go beyond David's life and David's external situation. And my friend, they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 22, of course, we have Calvary there.
there. And we understand that that psalm tells us of the Savior's cross. Amen. Thank God for the cross of the Lord Jesus. And he died upon and shed his blood and gave his life. And you and I can be saved. And man, you talk about a message that ought to excite every child of God, that old story of the Savior's cross, Seth, where Jesus gave his life for a bunch of sinners like you and I, and we who were dead in trespasses and in sin, could be forgiven, have our sins washed away, and have the life of the Lord Jesus implanted in their heart. And so Psalm 22 tells in the Savior's cross, and Psalm 23 tells you and I, as we've been preaching the last several weeks, in the shepherd's crook, if you will, and how then the Lord is my shepherd. There's a rod and a staff, and he's leading the way. He is the one that is leading the sheep. And we come to Psalm 24, and we find that this psalm, not only, my friend, magnifies, as Psalm 22 did, the Savior's cross, in Psalm 23, the shepherd's crook, but in Psalm 24, we find that it tells us in Jesus saith, and the sovereign's crown. The Bible saith, listen, who is this King of glory? Amen. That tells me there's somebody crowned there. Amen. If you got a king, you got to have a crown. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. The same one that carried a cross in 22, and the same one that my friend bears upon his hand, that crook leading the sheep along, is the same one as Psalm 24, and is now wearing the crown. When you come to Psalm 24, nobody is spitting on his face, and nobody is breaking his body, and my friend, nobody is causing bloodshed, but rather the Lord has been magnified and elevated as the King of glory. And we find it in this psalm, the sovereign's crown. I'm glad tonight that he is crowned. Amen. You said, who crowned him? Amen. According to Philippians 2, amen, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, and he is, Lord of the glory of God the Father. And so, amen, he's been crowned by his own Father tonight. Amen. He's there as the one that is the King of glory, the same Jesus of Psalm 22 and 23. He is the same Jesus of Psalm 24. I'm glad tonight that he is crowned. And one of these days, Seth, he's going to be the one wearing many crowns, coming back, and that friend returning for his own. I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but amen, he is the one, he is the sovereign of that is crowned. Now notice with me in Psalm 24 about the sovereign, the sovereign's crown. And on two occasions in this psalm, the question is asked, who is this King of glory? Did you catch that as we read it tonight? Amen. It's actually in references of the Lord Jesus as the King of glory on four occasions. It asks the question in verse number 8 and in verse number 10, who is this King of glory? The Bible said in verse 7 and verse 9, in the last line of both verses, the King of glory shall come in. And so, we find on four occasions the Lord is referenced as the King of glory. Twice the question is posed, who is this King of glory? That's a good question tonight. Who is this King of glory? If he's coming into glory, if he's entering the gate, and my friend, he's making his way through the everlasting doors, if the King of glory is coming in, amen, heaven wants to know who is this King of glory. And so notice, women and that, I want to show you who this King of glory is. Now, two times they ask the question. Six times in this psalm you'll find where David uses the name or the title or the phrase or the words, the Lord. He said and began his psalm in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. You'll find that he said there in verse number 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And he asks the question again in verse number Amen. In verse number 5, he makes a statement, he shall receive of a blessing from the Lord. And on 6 times in this psalm, David is telling you in that who this King of Glory is. Who is it? Amen. Can I put it this way? The Lord is this King of Glory. Amen. It ain't Buddha, and it ain't Allah, and it ain't the priest and the pope. Amen. It ain't some Baptist preacher. It's not the apostles. Tonight is not Joseph Smith. My friend, rather, this King of Glory is none other than the Lord God Jehovah. And a name that's important is, amen, he's magnifying, the King of Glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this one that wears the crown? Amen. The sovereign's crown tonight. It's none other than the Lord God Jehovah. Now you know this tonight. Amen. But the Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Amen. They're one and the same. Are you listening? Amen. Jesus and the Pharisees. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself here tonight. Amen. But Jesus said the Pharisees in arguing with them about Abraham seeing his day. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And so, amen, Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament is none other than the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, amen, in the New Testament. Hey, you can't divide them. You can't separate them. It don't matter what Jehovah's Witness say tonight. Amen, they're one in the same. Amen, Lord Jehovah and Lord Jesus. My friend is who this King of Glory is. Amen. Are you with me now tonight? That's important because, amen, this psalm has to deal tonight, amen, beyond David, and I believe tonight, and it has to deal with everybody, amen, who falls in under this, amen, lordship and this King of Glory tonight and wears his crown. And so I just kind of want to magnify the Lord a little bit tonight. If you'll let me have this psalm this evening, if you don't let me, amen, I'm going to do it anyway, okay? And in Psalm 24, the question is asked, who is he? Well, we know that he's the Lord. I believe there's at least 3 descriptions, if you will, in this psalm about the Lord being this King of Glory tonight. Who is he this evening? Number 1, in verse 1 and 2, I want to say, and he is the Lord of creation. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of creation. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, a world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who is this King of Glory tonight? He's the one that, my friend, 8,000 years ago, amen, 6,000 to 8,000 years ago, stepped out on nothing and made everything that is. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, he didn't need permission. Amen, he didn't, my friend, need my friend, anybody to vote for it. Amen. He is the Lord of creation. And we get to heaven according to Revelation 4. My friend, we're going to bow our knee as the saints of God. And here's what we're going to declare. Listen to this. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Who is this King of Glory? Amen. He's none other than the Lord of creation. Now, amen, in these 3 verses, I find there's 3 things tonight that's worth drawing our attention to. Amen. There's some things revealed about the Lord of creation being the King of Glory. Number 1, let me say this. We learn in verses 1 and 2, he is before all things. As the Lord of creation, he is before all things. Amen. That is, my friend, we serve, amen, an eternal God tonight. As the Lord of creation, he is absolutely eternal. He had, amen, people ask tonight, well, where did God come from? Amen. Well, God has always been. Amen. The fact we look around tonight and we, amen, see trees and mountaintops and birds, and all that's about us in creation, We're mindful of that, that God had took somebody, my friend, who was before all things, for you and I to experience and enjoy creation and that. The Bible said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Bible said, and my friend, the Word is what made all things. And according to verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we learn from that tonight that the Lord Jesus is before all things. Listen to these verses, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created. And He's speaking, tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And this is verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Amen. Do you understand that? And we think about who is this King of glory. As the Lord of creation, we remain dead. Amen. He's the God without a beginning. He's the God that, my friend, was there when nothing was there. I can't wrap my finite mind around that. Amen. But I believe it just like the Bible said. Amen. The Bible, and I'm getting way ahead of myself now. My friend, the opening line of your King James Bible reads, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. I'm telling you, God was there. Amen. There's no theory of evolution. There's no Big Bang described. Even in your King James Bible tonight, the Bible does not even argue with you tonight about the reality of God. It simply makes a statement that before anything was, it is tonight. Lord God was there in eternity past as the Lord God of creation. And can I say tonight that before this old mud ball was ever spun into existence and put into orbit, before the Milky Way was ever flung out, my friend, it's 100 million billion light years away from one end of the Milky Way unto the other side. And before that was flung out, amen, He was the King of glory. Amen, it's the Lord of creation. Amen, that is before all things. Amen, there ain't another God in this universe that man bows down to and claims is a God that, my friend, has ever dared to make that claim tonight. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, the God of gods, the King of all glory tonight. And so He is before all things. But according to verse 2 in this passage, amen, He is the beginning of all things. Oh, this is what the statement makes here in verse 2. Or He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And so if we're going to ask tonight, and the world asks tonight, amen, and all the heaven asks tonight, amen, who is this King of glory? And when we read this psalm, He's the Lord of creation. Amen, He has made all things. He's the beginning of it all. The Bible said that He has founded and established the earth and the world in which you and I live in. Amen, listen again to that. Amen, we're not talking about evolution in that. We're not talking about a million years ago. We're not talking about 6 billion years ago. Amen, we're talking about, amen, about 6,000 years ago, amen, God stepped out on that and said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen, He created the firmament. He divided the land from the sea. He put grass and seed in the ground and grew the trees. He made the birds that fly and the fish that swim and the cattle that creeps along the way. Amen, He made man in His own image. Ain't God denied from the fact, and the King of glory is the Lord of creation. Amen. I'm telling you today, there's debate about how it all began. And if you listen to this scientist and this God denier and this liberal, amen, they'd have you and I believe that we came out of some prebiotic soup. Amen. Are you listening to that? Amen. And billions and billions of years ago, my friend, there's a big bang that made this soup that was just kind of floating on out there in space somewhere. And my friend, from that soup came a tadpole. Amen. From that tadpole came a frog. And from that frog came a monkey. And from that monkey came a man. Amen. Even if you did believe that, amen, you still got to answer something. And we don't believe that, amen. But even if you do believe that, I got a question for you. Where did the soup come from? Amen. I'm telling you, even if you do believe, amen, in what they claim they believe, amen, you can never argue away the fact that somebody had to get it started, that somebody had to make what you and I seen an ad. And so, amen, the King of Glory is the Lord of creation. He is before all things. He's the beginning of all things. Amen. But according to verse 1, and I love this, He is the boss of all things. In verse 1, the Bible says, and the earth is the Lord's. You say, who gave it to him? Nobody gave it to him. He made it, my friend, himself. Amen, Brother Tony. He's the boss of all things. There's not a mountaintop or valley low, and he's not the boss of all things. This thing's running right on his timeline. It's going just according to his perfect plan. It, my friend, is conformed to his will, as he is the Lord. And the boss of this earth. Amen. He's the boss because, amen, in by ownership and authority. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What's that mean? That means everything in this world belongs to God. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? It's all under his lordship. He made it all. Amen. That land you built a house off. Amen. That land's the Lord's land. Amen. I'm telling you, these debate, amen, over there about Israel, and in particular that holy city, Jerusalem. Amen. All them bunch of towel-headed Arabs, amen, are trying to blow Israel off the map. Amen. They want that land. They think it's their land. Amen. But they don't understand it belongs to God. It's his holy land. He deeded it to Abraham. And Abraham passed it on to Isaac. Ain't God denied? When you trace it all back, it belongs to the Lord. He's the boss as the Lord of creation. He's the boss. Amen. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The Bible said, amen, the world and they that dwell therein. I got news for you tonight. He's Lord tonight. He's the boss tonight. Amen. There's not a region. He's not the Lord. Amen. He controls the heart of every king and governor and president. Amen. Why? Because, amen, the world. World is his, amen, and they that dwell therein, he is the Lord over them. There ain't ever been a hanging Chad vote, amen, there ain't ever been a miscount, amen, nobody's voted him in, and nobody sure is going to vote him out. As the Lord of glory, the King of glory, and the Lord of creation, Brother Jackson, and he is the boss of all things. That's why this world better wake up and listen to his word. Amen. Why? Because he's the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, well, when did you make him Lord? Amen. I ain't never made him Lord. He's always been Lord. He's always going to be Lord. How you going to make somebody something they've always been and something they said they'll always be? Amen. By being the Lord of creation, amen, we're his creation in it. And it's thus we must answer to him as being our boss. That was the conclusion that young Solomon came to as he gave himself to know every vanity the world could offer him. He said, here's what you better do. Fear thy Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Because he's the boss. He's the Lord of creation. He's that King of glory that all men, amen, are going to have to bow to one day. Amen. The Lord of creation, he is King of glory. You say number two, tonight, hastening old. Amen. He is the Lord of creation. But in verses 3 through verse 6, he is the Lord of salvation. I like this right here, son. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? Well, he's the one, my friend, made it all. The Lord of creation. Amen. But thank God he's the Lord of salvation. A question is posed in verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And so there's a question here tonight. Amen. That who is going to be able to gain entrance into the presence of God? Who is it that's going to find a standing? Who is it that, my friend, is going to be given salvation? He speaks of that salvation in verse 5 as he references his Lord of salvation as the God of his salvation. And tonight, notice with me in verse 3, I see the exclusion from the Lord of salvation. The exclusion, what do you mean, Brother Jeff? Here's what I mean. Brother Dane, he asks the question twice, who shall? Who shall? In other words, everybody's not able, amen, to ascend into the hill of the Lord. Everybody has not found, amen, ground to stand on in the presence of God. It's a holy city. He's a holy Lord. Amen. In a holy place. And we understand that there's a holy way that a man must be made righteous in order that he can stand and ascend it and be saved and have the hope that he can make it to heaven. Are you listening? And so the Lord says, who shall? That means to that. And there's some that are saved, and there's some that ain't saved. Amen. Everybody ain't saved tonight. Are you listening? Amen. Everybody, I don't care what, amen, what they say. We knock doors, we try to witness, and it seems like, and we joke sometimes, that everybody in Newport's saved. Amen. It's hard to find somebody that'll say, I've never been born again. Are you listening? We live in a society that just thinks, amen, everybody's got a place in heaven. Are y'all with me now? And I say the Lord of salvation, is making some exclusions here, that not everybody is saved. I got news for you tonight. Everybody in Newport ain't saved. Everybody in this gathering tonight is not saved. Amen. And the question is posed, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And I ask you tonight, have you ever been blood-born? Have you ever been redeemed? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Amen. Everybody ain't going to heaven. You say, but I'm a good old boy. I've done this, I've done that, been a good daddy, good papa, a good mama, good grandma. Amen. Well, good for you. You ought to be. Amen. But listen, everybody ain't going to heaven. Amen. It's sad that in our day, my friend, people live, amen, lives in drunkenness and fornication and rebellion and partying, and then they die, and then they bring them in the funeral service, and everybody just preaches them and talks them right into glory. And I'm not being mean to that, but everybody don't have a home on high. Who shall? Amen. Can I ask you this? Can you say tonight with confidence in your heart, amen, that you're included, not excluded, in that number that is found, amen, the path of salvation? And so there's the exclusion from the Lord of salvation. Listen to me tonight. Most important decision of your life is that you nail down whether you've ever been saved or not. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, man is born in sin. You say it ain't fair that God would exclude some. Amen. Listen, we is all born excluded. Thank God he sent his son in the world to die and give his blood on an old rugged cross. Amen. That all the world might be saved. Amen. He wants you to be saved. He wants you included. In fact, amen, 1 John 2 said, and he's the propitiation of our sin. Amen. Speaking of those of us in our sake, and not for our sins only, but for the sin of the whole world. The Lord doesn't want anybody excluded. He made this statement through Peter, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering us were, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. The Lord doesn't want you excluded, but that don't mean that you're not excluded tonight. Amen. He wants you to repent. He wants you to believe. He wants to wash you from your sin. Amen. As the Lord of salvation. But we got to understand, my friend, men are born into sin. And through the sin of Adam is passed the seed of sin. It lives within us. We're born with that sin nature. Thank God the Lord of salvation has provided, amen, a way. That leads me to this next thought. Amen. Not only the exclusion of the Lord of salvation. Notice with me, there is the experience with the Lord of salvation. Did you catch what the Bible said in verse 5 and 6, who it's addressed to? Amen. He didn't say, O Israel. He didn't say, O Jerusalem. He didn't say, O Judah. He's writing and he said, let me just read it to you. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Who's he talking to? Oh, Jacob. Jacob, the old trickster. Jacob, the old deceiver. Jacob, the old man who is on the run from God. Amen. The one that's distant from God. Amen. But what happened to Jacob? Amen. Like that David referencing Jacob, our mind is taken back of the fact that Jacob, amen, didn't always remain Jacob. Amen. One day the sinner met the Savior. Amen. There was a wrestling match. And by the grace of God, amen, God changed his name and Jacob became Israel. Amen. What do you call that? I call that a wonderful picture of redemption and salvation. Oh, Jacob, listen, he's Jacob, he's reminding, amen, all of Israel of the days when, amen, they weren't the prince with God, they weren't the children of God, that he was on the run and living in sin. Notice this with me, the experience with the Lord of salvation. Notice with me, amen, when Jacob seeks the Lord, according to verse 6, amen, he said, this is a generation of them that seek him and seek thy face. Amen. Brother Larry, there's a day Jacob got tired of running. There's a day that Jacob got to the end of his rope. There's a day, my friend, Jacob couldn't stand it anymore. Amen. And God interceded his life and came down out of glory. Amen. And dealt with Jacob. Amen. And listened and began to seek the Lord. And the Lord made a difference in his life. You see it in verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. He shall receive. Notice he didn't say he shall receive blessings from the Lord. He didn't say he will receive a blessing from the Lord. He's very specific. He shall receive the blessing. Amen. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? The charismatics are running around in that and they're talking about receiving blessings from the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful. I know something about blessings. I'm not preaching against that tonight. Amen. But listen, blessings mean nothing until you've received the blessing. Amen. 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 If you've never received the blessing, a blessing will just send you straight to hell. Amen. He said he shall receive the blessing and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen. What is David saying? They're singing now, who is this King of glory? Amen. Tell us who he is. And David said, I tell you who he is. He's the one that old Jacob was wandering around. Amen, lost and undone and headed to hell. Amen, but God came down and met with it. And God wrestled with it. And God laid hold on his leg. Amen, and touched the hollow of his thigh. And changed the way he lived. And changed the way he walked. And changed the name he had. He received the blessing. And not only the blessing. Amen, I think that the blessing is the grace of God. Amen, that changed. changed his life and be a righteous life before God. He shall receive the blessing and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jack. There's a shallow gospel going around in our day. It says you can walk the aisle and make a prayer and call on God, and there'll be no difference made in your life when you get up off your knees. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't the King of Glory. Amen. The King of Glory. Who is he? He's the Lord of salvation. Amen. He's the one that can reach down into your life and into your world and into your sin and into your family. Amen. Friend, he can pick you up. And an experience with the Lord of salvation, amen, will take an unrighteous man and make him a righteous man before God. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a salvation that wouldn't save a man from his sins. Amen. With this shallow gospel saying, Amen, listen, I believe him. Amen. We're saved from hell and we're saved from the wrath to come. Amen. But if all you get is salvation from hell and a salvation from the wrath to come and you don't get saved from your sin, that's not the gospel and the salvation the King of Glory gives. He saves from sin. And when you get saved from sin, number one, saved from sin, you get saved from hell and the wrath to come. Amen. And that's why they can walk down chewing their bubble gum. That's why they can walk down, amen, and cry crocodile tears and make their prayers, amen, and put on, amen, some religious show. And then, my friend, they get up and they don't last and they don't make it. They don't hang around church. Their life is never different. Their speech is never changed. Their desires are never changed. Listen, amen, the King of Glory is the Lord of salvation that changes lives. Amen. I hope I'm making sense tonight. Amen. Let me get this. Y'all buckle your seatbelt now, but notice the expectation of the Lord of salvation. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of salvation, and as such, he's got expectation out of his children. Amen. What is his expectation? Notice again in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He's going to tell us now. You say, whoa, I'm saved, glory. I've got a standing on that. Listen, you can have experience the Lord of salvation, but you better understand that. And he's got expectation out of your life and mine. Amen. What is it? Number one, holiness in our lifestyle. Holiness in our lifestyle. Who's going to be able to stand in the hill of the Lord and in his holy place and ascend into his holy throne? Amen. It's going to be he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. It ain't the dirty. It ain't the wicked. Amen. It ain't the crowd that, amen, is out, amen, in fornication and adultery and telling dirty jokes. Amen. It ain't that crowd that, amen, that lives more in the world than they do in the things of God. Amen. The expectation the Lord of salvation has is that your lifestyle must be holy. Amen. No, there ain't no dirty folk coming into his presence. I didn't say you wasn't going to make it into heaven, but if you're going to enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth, amen, and in prayer and in your spiritual life, amen, have times when you get, amen, to ascend into his presence and experience him, amen, as the Lord of salvation that he is, amen, you're going to have some holiness in the way you live. Holiness of lifestyle. We live in a very unholy generation. Amen. The doctrine of holiness is something that's falling away. Can I say the practice of holiness is something that's falling away? It ain't something you put on your church sign. It ain't some badge you wear on your lapel. It ain't some certificate you carry around, amen, that you're this and you're that. Holiness, my friend, deals with, amen, what God put in on the inside of you the day you got saved and it flowing on the outside of your life. Amen. The Lord of salvation is expectation. Are you listening to that? Amen. I'm glad that he's got some expectation. He's told me how to live. He's told me how to conduct my life. He's told me where I can go and can't go. He's told me what I can wear and can't wear. He's told me what I can say and can't say. He's told me, my friend, how I am to live my life and how I ain't to live my life. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, but Jerry, we got a crowd. They're saved. They're probably saved. But they're not living in the expectation, and they're missing out on the manifest presence and the enjoyment of the Lord of their salvation by not having a holy lifestyle. You might as well say, man, I'm not being mean or ugly tonight, but you're going to have to learn to grow up in holiness. You get saved, you gotta progress. You don't get it all at one time. Amen. But as you get saved and preachers preach on things, it goes, oh, I got to deal with that in my life. And I got to deal with that in my life. Guess what? I've been saved nearly 18 years now. Amen. Over 18 years now, I'm still learning. I still go to camp meeting here and preach and preach. And the Lord will say, you got to deal with that too, son. Don't ever get the place where you've arrived and you're the epitome and the pinnacle and the standard of holiness for Baptist churches. Amen. Holiness in lifestyle. Number two, holiness in longing. Notice what he said. I got to quit. Y'all been good to preach to tonight. Lord, have mercy. Watch it now. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. He not only deals with the hands and the heart, and the hands do what then? I'm working on some things for this weekend in the men's meeting where we'll be preaching, but it's amazing how the heart is connected to everything we do outwardly. He moves from the heart that is affecting our lifestyle, our hands. And then he says that you can, if you're not careful, you can lift up your soul unto vanity. Things that mean nothing, desires and longings that are just unholy. And I say tonight, if you're gonna enjoy the Lord of your salvation, there'll have to be holiness in your longings. Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Are y'all listening? Amen. Mind. Amen. Heavenly things, not earthly things. These are statements the Bible gives a child of God that our longings, not only our life, but our longings, the things that people can't see, the things we ponder, the things we think on, the things we meditate on, and our longings are to be holy to God. How holy are your desires? Oh, on the outside you got it all nailed down. But what goes on in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, what is it being lifted up to and longing for tonight? Holiness in lifestyle, holiness in longing, holiness in language. Notice what he said, nor sworn deceitfully. Now he's dealing there very specifically with lying. Amen. The expectation the Lord has is that you won't lie. We live in a generation of liars. Amen. You better believe we do. From the pulpit to the, amen, to the pew. Church is filled with lying people. Here's what the Lord said over in the book of Revelation. Said, amen, the Lord ain't going to let nothing enter in that new heaven and new earth that loveth and maketh a lie. Ain't that right? Amen. These are not going to have an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Of which the Lord said, no liars. My wife's got the phrase and the statement some of y'all have heard her make that liars are friars. Amen, ain't that right? Amen, liars are friars. Liars ain't saved. Amen, you may tell an untruth, but there'll be something on the inside of your heart convicts you and you'll want to make it right just like that. But if you can habitually lie and tell stories and make up things, guess what? Amen. You're not living up the expectation God set, the standard He set for those that claim His name. Amen. You might as well say amen right there. Lord, I got to hurry. Amen. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of salvation. He's the Lord of revelation. Verse 7 through 10, I'm done. Bible said, lift up your heads. Twice the Bible makes this statement, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be you lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Twice the Bible says, David said, the King of glory shall come in. There's two different distinct scenes. Can I just throw this out there and we're done? Amen. Number one, there's the revelation in his resurrection. The King of glory shall come in. Verse 7, notice what verse 8 said. Who is this King of glory? And the Lord answers back, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So what's that deal with? I can't help but think that it deals with that great battle that took place 2,000 years ago on Golgotha's Hill, where the Lord, my friend, in the darkness, the sun being put out, all of hell cheering against him, all of the world cheering against him, all of his followers and believers having forsaken him, the Lord, with courage, his face set as a flint, went to Calvary, was laid in an old grave. He gave up his life, laid in a grave. But on the third day, praise God, he got up again. When he got up, and when heaven says, here he comes, the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Somebody says from heaven, who is this King of glory? And the Lord cries out, the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Can I say, when he comes in this first scene, we see in verse 7 and 8, amen, he's not walking in frailty and weakness, but rather as the Lord mighty in battle, he is lifted up as the Lord that is strong and mighty. And I say tonight, we serve a risen Savior. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord of revelation that is raised from the dead. Amen. That went through the jaws of death and into the entrance of hell itself. Holds the keys of death and the grave and of hell. And thank God, John said, and when he seen the Lord said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I'm telling you, he's the Lord of revelation, the revelation of his resurrection. I found this interesting in studying this passage that in temple worship, when they instituted temple worship, there were certain psalms sung on specific days to begin the ministry of the temple. On Mondays, they would gather together and they would start their day by singing Psalm 48. On Tuesdays, they would gather in as the sun would come up and they would sing Psalm 82. On Wednesdays, it was Psalm 94. Thursdays, Psalm 81. On Fridays, they would gather in and they would begin to lift up in unity and in chorus, and there they would sing Psalm 93. On Saturday, they didn't lay out and they didn't take the day off. They'd gather in there on Saturday and they would sing Psalm 92, but on the first day of the week they would gather in as the sun would begin to rise. Amen. And they would sing Psalm 24. Amen. The King of glory shall come in. And there'd be a soloist over on one side and say, who is this King of glory? And the choir would come back in and say, a Lord strong and mighty, a Lord mighty in battle. On that first resurrection morning, amen, when the Lord got up, the Bible said, amen, they went down there at the breaking of the day, amen, just to see what there they had laid it. And they couldn't find him. All they found was a stone rolled away. Amen. And while that stone was being rolled away over in the temple somewhere, an old rent veil, them trying to hide all that, and then a band of Jews gathered together. Amen. No doubt singing. Amen. The King of glory shall come in. And did they know he's a marching in? And did he know when they said, who is this King of glory? And my friend, the Lord himself, amen, was crying out through heaven, a Lord strong and mighty, a Lord mighty in battle. Hell tried to do him in, and the world tried to stomp him out, and he arose victorious as the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Psalm 24, he's the King of glory as the Lord of revelation, the revelation of his resurrection, but the revelation of his return. Notice again the statement is made. There's another scene that we move from one to the other briefly. And one author and one writer said between verse 8 and 9 is the entire dispensation of the grace of God. Hallelujah. We move from his resurrection where it all begins. And he says again, there's another scene we're taken to. Amen, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And he says, lift up, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Here he comes again. He's done been that way in the revelation of his resurrection, but as the revelation of his return, when the statement is made, the King of glory shall come in. Somebody says again, who is this King of glory? About that time, the Lord hears that and he echoes all over heaven, the Lord of hosts. Amen. That's a powerful statement. Amen. In the first statement, it's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's there and he's there alone. But in the second, who is this King of glory? He ain't alone anymore. He's marching in as the Lord of hosts. There is a mass of people that belong to the army of God. And he's marching in. He's already been there. He already knows the way. He's already paved the way. He's already made the way. And here he comes again. And somebody said, who is this King of glory? And he cries out, a Lord of hosts. And I brought this entire army of God's children to come in and be in this place I've made for them. The question here is not, amen, after you answer who is the King of glory is, who is this host? It's the blood-bought, redeemed saints of God that the Lord has stepped down off his throne and onto a cloud. The trump of God has sounded. The dead in Christ have been raised to be caught up with him in the air. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter number 5 about the Lord presenting his church, a glorious church, without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I don't know how it's all going to work, but I know this. He's going to have to come down off his glory, off his throne of glory. And he's going to step out on a cloud. He ain't coming all the way back. He ain't setting his foot on the earth. But in the clouds, he's going to call the blood-bought redeemed up. He's going to turn around and say, come on, Gerald, follow me. Hallelujah. If I wasn't so tired and my chest hurting, I'd take a lap right now. He's going to say, come on, Dean and Betty, you've been serving me all them years. Come on with me. By the time we get the doors and the gates, they'll say, who is this King of glory? He'll say, I'm the Lord of hosts. And this crowd's with me, and they're getting in on my blood. They're getting in on my grace. They're getting in on my mercy. And the redeemed of God will walk in with the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, he is this King of glory. And I say tonight, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I know him tonight as the Lord of creation. I'm glad tonight, especially I know him as the Lord of salvation. One of these days, praise God, amen, we'll experience him as the Lord of revelation. There'll be a return. Hey, child of God, he is coming again. Seem like we've been saying that a lot lately, ain't we? But it's true. He's coming again. He's coming again. Thank God. If you're saved, he's coming for you. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. And you ought to run this altar tonight, bow your knee, and get saved by the grace of God. You don't want to be left behind. Sister Candy, come on if you will. I feel like I want to feel impressed, like we need to give a little invitation tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you say, preacher, I've never heard nothing like this before. Well, it's a good night to be here then. You need to know the Lord. You need to know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You need to know that he can be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of salvation. One day he'll be the Lord of revelation. Every eye one day is going to behold him. You want to make sure that you know him today. Would you stand with me? Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for putting this Hebrew hymn book in our King James Bible. Thank you, Lord, for what we're learning. Thank you, Lord, for the good encouragement. Help us now, Lord, I pray. Lord, there's some here tonight, they've never been saved. They need to get saved. Their life has never been changed. Father, there's young people, there's mothers, fathers. Lord, maybe there's some older folk here tonight. They've never been saved. God, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Father, may they understand until they bow their knee and call on the Lord. They're excluded from the God of salvation, the Lord of salvation. Father, may they know tonight they can experience Him. They can know what it means to be changed. Help us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. There's one or two that's come to pray tonight. Would you mind the Lord? No one's looking around now. How many would say this evening, Preacher, Pastor Jeff, I know I'm saved. I know the Lord's my Savior. There's been a time in my life when I bowed my knee, called on the Lord. My life's been changed. Preacher, I know that. How many could uplift your hand in confidence of that this evening? I know that. Just hold it right there for a minute. I know I'm saved. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Would there be one tonight? Now, not every hand went up. And I appreciate you being honest about it. Is there one here tonight would say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I know that I'm not saved. And I'm concerned about it. I know I need to do business with the Lord. Maybe I'm not asking if you know everything. I'm not asking you if you're coming tonight. But you just uplift your hand and say, Preacher, please pray for me. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. Is there one anywhere tonight? Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been born again. Please pray for me. I don't even really know what it's all about, but I want you to pray for me. I've never had an experience like what you preached tonight. Is there one anywhere? The saints of God praying. We got a moment here. God bless you, young lady. Thank you. Been praying for you. Would there be another? Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I know I need to be saved. Father, I pray now this evening one more time. Lord, we wish we could make folk get saved. Lord, we know it's a personal decision. Father, they've got to make for themselves. Father, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, there's some here tonight, it's obvious you've troubled their heart. Father, it's obvious that you've dealt with them. Lord, I ask you one more time to help them. Go home with them, Lord. Continue to open their eyes. Lord, may conviction fall on them where they just get miserable and get tired. Father, just yield theirself to the calling of God. Father, I pray in days to come there'd be, Lord, fruit of salvation in their life. Lord, have your will and way now. Bless us as we go. Help your children now. Help us, Lord, to end the week strong and faithful for God. Lord, help us to live holy as you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty, all hearts free tonight. Amen. Well, appreciate you being here. Let's pray. Let me mention a few prayer requests real quick, and we're going to dismiss in prayer. Pray for Brother Tony. He got to be here tonight. He said, slip out. We continue to pray for him, Brother Johnny. Good to see Roger and Ruth here tonight. And make sure that you pray for them. They brought a visitor with them tonight. Daniel, we're glad you're here. And y'all make sure you shake his hand, make him welcome this evening. Brother Joe Cox, he's been sick. Continue to pray for him. Riley Jones got surgery coming up next week, Friday. What's that? Next Thursday. So pray for Riley. Sister Dolores is here. Continue to pray for her. Brother Jerry needs her prayers. He's got some tests going to be run on Monday of next week. Let's pray for a good report there. Continue to pray for Sister Ella. I guess she's still sick. So pray for her. Billy and Melinda Bussler, they're out traveling. Lord knows what their needs is. And, of course, Bonnie and Clancy and Jerry Jennings as well. Let's pray for them, all right? Real quick, y'all got a special request you want us to pray for the rest of this week. Deepa. Yeah, remember Sister Deepa? She's had some back problems and troubles, and she needs our prayers, okay? Pray for her. Anybody else? Brother Ronnie?
Yeah, remember Claude? Brother Ronnie's been mentioning him in prayer. Anything else? Okay. All right, pray. Let's do this. Pray for the men. We got several men be going down. The men's conference with us will be leaving Friday. Men, I was going to try to leave at 3, but it's a little further down there than what I had thought. We're going to have to leave about 2 o'clock on Friday. We'll leave here from the church. Better leave your vehicle here, and we'll lock it up behind the gates for you. But we'll be leaving at 2 o'clock. All you men that signed up to go, if you're planning on going, you ain't signed up, I really need you to sign up this evening. I need to know that you're coming. If you're still unsure, just let me know as you leave tonight so I can keep up with you. But we'll have plenty of room. We're gonna take a Ford and a Chevrolet. Okay, so we'll make it one way or the other. Amen. If we have a problem, I think I know where it'll come from. Amen. You can't trust them bow ties. Amen. We'll have a good time. We'll be in service Friday night and Saturday morning, and then right after lunch on Saturday there'll be a short service up to about 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then we'll load right back up and get back. We'll have you back by about 7:30 Saturday evening, ready to go to church on Sunday. But here's what I want us all to do. Pray for us men that's going off. But I really want you to pray for Sunday. I really want you to pray somebody get saved. It's been a while since we've seen somebody walk the aisle. And, man, that's burdening me. I want to see that happen. We've had some sinners in the services. Let's pray a special touch of God on the service on Sunday, and let's do our best to get somebody here that ain't been saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm telling you, I'm glad the Lord made the difference in my heart, and I want everybody to have from God what God did for me, and it's that great. Amen. If I knew where to go to get $1 million, and anybody could go there and get $1 million, I tell everybody tonight, I got something better than money. I got something better than fame tonight. I got something that goes beyond anything you can find in this world, in the salvation, the grace of God He's bestowed on my life. And I promise, I think after a year and a half, you know, we'll preach the gospel to them. Okay? Right. Get them here, and let's pray that the Lord will manifest Himself in a strong way. Okay? All righty. Appreciate you being here. Let's pray. And best we can, we're going to remember these requests. Brother Joe, it's good to see you. Y'all pray for them. They'll be back on the road this weekend. Pray the Lord keep them safe and use them. Would you close us in prayer, preacher?